Well, amen. It's good, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, it's good. It's good. Steve, it's good to see you. How you doing? You made it? They let you out of the water? He was in a swim back if they didn't know. No, it's good to see you. Good to have you here. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to have everyone here this morning. I tell you, you're a blessing to us. You. It doesn't matter how young you are, like Ella, or as old as anyone is, you're a blessing to me as your pastor. And I tell you, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We love you and we thank you for who you are. Amen. We want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last Sunday, tithe and offering was $639. So you can see it in your bulletin, $639. So thank you for being faithful. You know, there's a reason why God blesses His people. Two reasons. Number one, He blesses us, you know what, to take care of our families. Say amen. You know what that means? Amen means so be it. I agree with you. So first of all, God blesses and gives us the ability to work and blesses us so we can take care of our family. Second of all, God blesses us so we can take care of the work of God. That's the two things. The work first is the family and the work of God. And so thank you for being faithful with your tithe and offerings to the church, and we pray that the blessings of God would be poured out upon you. Would you lift your hands as we pray for the blessing upon you? Thank you for giving. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you will bless your people this day, Lord. Father, in all that they have given unto you, that you will bring it back over and beyond what we ever could imagine, Lord God. That you will bless us financially, physically, and spiritually, Lord God. We thank you that you are a faithful God unto you, unto us, Lord God, and that you're moving mightily in our hearts and lives. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a matter of note, I know it's in your bulletin. Easter Sunday, which is the 20th, we're going to have church at 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? And you might say, why early? Because I want to have it early so that people can come to church, go home, and have a good part of the day with their families. I want you to be able to go home and eat all the ball crawfish you want. Eat all the barbecue you want. You know, whatever you're cooking, that you're going to have a lot of time to be with your family and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. So don't forget that Sunday, Easter Sunday, church will be at 9 o'clock, okay, that Sunday morning. Alrighty? Amen. Children, kids, would you please stand, and the workers, and we're going to pray for you as they go to the other building. Amen. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for these children. And Father, I pray that you would be with every one of them today, Lord God. Help them, Lord God, to learn your word and instill it in their hearts, Lord God, this day. Father, I pray that you would be with Miss Eva and Leslie today as they share the word of God, that the anointing and the presence of God would be upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blake, can you do me a favor? Walk with the workers and the kids to the other building. And anybody tries to attack them, just beat them up. Drag them in here and we'll pray for them. Make sure they stay alive, though. That's all I ask. And bring them back. Thank you. Amen. You might say, why do we always have a man to walk with the workers and the kids? Because, you know, you just want to make sure everything's okay for them to get there and stuff in the other building across the street, you know. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. Hey, Melinda, what you doing? How you doing? Oh, okay. I just saw her. You doing okay? Good. Good to have you here. Thank you. Right, when you finally just look this way, and we make our declaration before Him, say, "This is life. I will honor it today, as this word brings life to my spirit." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, Blake. Everything was okay? All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. No, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. Before we read the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let me mark it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to tell you a story about a man's testimony. The man, his name was Mel, M-E-L, Trotter. Mel Trotter. In 1900, Mel Trotter decided to open a rescue mission to help with men, women, children, to bring them in and to help them, whatever addictions they have, whatever was going on. And that was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Within a few years, the mission had grown to that on any given day for Sunday school, which was basically Sunday, they'd have 300 to 500 kids that would just come. A lot of them would live on the premises because many of these people, the women, the children, even some of the men, didn't have homes to stay in. I mean, you know, they were destitute. I mean, it was bad. It was a bad timing. But God had used this man and had built this place up. They had bought the facilities that they needed. They had houses and they had certain facilities. And these facilities were used 24 hours a day, constantly. They had meetings, they had church services, they had things going on 24 hours a day, meeting the needs of the people that stayed there, that came in, that needed help, that left, helping men that came in that were alcoholics and all kinds of evil upon their lives, and they would help them, they'd help rescue them from that kind of lifestyle and would save them. And women that were battered and all kinds of stuff, and helping them to get back on track, and children that were just left with them because the parents couldn't afford them and they needed help, and so they would clothe them and feed them. And I mean, this went on. I mean, the rescue mission, and that's what it was. It was a rescue. It wasn't a church. It wasn't, but they did the things of ministering to people. They would rescue the people, rescue the people. And what they would do, they'd rescue them in, and they would come in. They would meet the physical need, then they would preach to them about Jesus and how Jesus could satisfy them and take them out of that lifestyle of whatever they were living in and rescue them and help them to be what God wanted them to be. Also, Trotter had prison services. You know, where him and other men and women would go into certain prisons and would preach the gospel. You know, doing all that kinds of stuff. And, you know, and we often, and you know, reading this testimony, we often think, my God, what a great man. And he is a great man, or was, because he passed away. Great man of God. But we don't realize that this man, I know I lifted him up and he did great exploits for the kingdom of God. But this man was an alcoholic. You might say, well, you know, he was an alcoholic. Yes, he was. He grew up in the early 1900s. His dad was a bartender. It says in reading about him that his dad drank as much as he served to people. So he drank a lot. And so here Mel Trotter grew up in this era of seeing his dad drink and drink and drink. Well, years went by and he was trying to get away from that lifestyle. And he went and he got his barber's license to cut hair, trying to get to another level, trying not to to do what his dad did, seeing what happened to his mother and his father. But it says that he got married, and ironically, his wife didn't know that he was an alcoholic. And come to find out, not weeks or so, days later, she finds out that he would drink all the time. He would leave their home for weeks at a time, and she wouldn't know where he was. Weeks at a time, he'd come back staggering into the house, drunk, dirty, drunk. And nowadays, you know, I know I'm talking about him, but that can happen to women too, okay? There's nothing beyond anything anymore. But this just happened to be a man, okay? I mean, whatever. So he comes in one time after being away for a week, drinking alcohol. I mean, just out of it. Comes in. They had a little boy that was 2 years old. Walks into the house after being away for 1 week, binge drinking to the max. Comes in and finds his wife sitting in a rocker, rocking the little baby. Now, this is early 1900s. And the baby, 2 years of age, had just died. You know, we don't see that, you know, whatever. There's things that can happen today to save that, those children. And he looks at the baby and he thinks it's his fault. And he promises her, look, from this day forward, I will not drink ever again. But not 24 hours later, he was drinking again. It got so bad that when the little baby, the little boy was in the coffin, that he took the shoes off of the little baby, his son, 2 years old, took them and went sell them for 35 cents so he could have some more to drink. That's how far sin will take you down. That's how far it will take you down. For 35 cents, can you imagine? One day, not long after that, it says that he had drank and had enough and was just walking down the road. And he was thinking the only way out is to kill myself. It's just whatever it takes. He thought about, you know, jumping in the frozen lakes, you know, and just kill himself. He thought about all kinds of things. But he says that he was walking by a rescue mission. Not the one he started, but another one. And they nudged him. There happened to be somebody there saying, come on in. They were having church service. And it says that Mel Trotter walked into that place feeling not that big about himself because of what had happened. Walked into that place. They had an altar call. And he gave his life to the Lord. And from that day forward, God changed his heart, his mind, his life, his attitude. To even get to a place where he started another rescue mission. He was even ordained into the ministry. See, that's what God can do. That's what God can do. The world can't do it. The world can't help. But God can change a man that's an alcoholic and dry him up and give him a heart after him. My God, that's the kind of God we serve. You might say, Pastor, some things in my life are just hard. I understand that. But I tell you what, get with God and let Him change your heart. It's not easy. But let me tell you, God can change our attitudes towards things. God can change the desires of our hearts. You see, we have that sin nature on the inside of us. It's there. We got it from Adam and Eve. It's there. And look, that sin nature wants to do everything that's evil. We just know how to control it sometimes. But you see, that's why we needed God to reconcile us back to the Father, so that He can change the attitudes and the things in our hearts, so that we do not crave that thing. You might say, well, Pastor, does the sin nature leave when we accept the Lord? No, it doesn't leave, but it becomes dormant because of the power and the presence of God and the blood of Jesus that settles upon our lives. Now, it can become alive again if we allow it. But it becomes dormant because of what Jesus has done upon Calvary's cross. The great and powerful Almighty God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love Him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, keep your finger there, and I want you to turn to Isaiah 64. You might say, well, why? Because there's a scripture there that is very similar to this. Isaiah 64, verse 4. Look at this. Isaiah, page 1219, if you have the Expositor's Bible. 1219. It says this, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides you, what He, talking about God the Father, has prepared for Him who waits for Him. So here we see, even from the beginning of time, God has prepared things for His people. God has prepared for them who love them. Eye has not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of who? Men, what God has prepared for His people. Now, what I get from that and what I can see, what God has already prepared for His people. Let me say it again. What God has already prepared for His people. Who's His people? You and I and the church, the body of Christ around the world. So you see, God has things prepared for us. You might say, well, when did God prepare these things? At the beginning of time. Long before we were even here upon the earth, even as a physical person, God has already prepared things that human eyes can't even conceive, that human ears cannot possibly dream of. Nor has it even entered into the heart of man, the goodness of our God towards humanity. Now, we see the goodness in one area that we know of. The goodness of God was portrayed towards us when He sent, God the Father sent His Son, who? For us. To deliver us from sin. To take us out of that sinful lifestyle. To take us out and say, look, live for me. Give me your heart. Give me your life. Let me do what I need to do through you so the gospel can be preached. So the power of God can be manifested upon the earth. See, God visits a people for two reasons. God will visit a people for two reasons. One, for judgment. Or two, which we all like, is to bless them. To bless the people. So here we see God moving and preparing things already for us. You see, so here we see none of us are a mistake. I know some of you thinking, Lord, I don't know about this. Not every single person, however it may have happened, is here and ordained by God upon this earth by Him. And before the foundations of the earth, God had prepared things for you and I today. Prepared things. You say, man, I want to be used by God. I know your heart's desire. I know you and I, we want to be used by God. We want God to use us. And God is using us. God is helping us to reach people all over. You might say, this church is helping reaching people all over. Yes, every day. We tithe as a church to a certain place, and people are getting saved every day. Every day. Not just haphazardly, once here or there. Every day. Every day. Sorry. Every day things are happening, and the power of God is moving on our behalf, accredited to your account because of what you have given to this place. What God has prepared for you and I. The plan that He has set in motion is done. The plan that He has set in motion is done. One thing, God made a covenant with man. God made a covenant with man. Anybody knows basically what a covenant is? A covenant is something, an agreement between two people, two organizations, whatever. You know, two distinct beings, different areas that come together and agree on certain things. You might say, well, you might have made an agreement or a covenant with a bank, you know, to purchase your vehicles or to purchase your home, you know. Some people do that to buy furniture or whatever the deal is. But that's a covenant. You saying, look, the bank is saying, I'll give you the money. They give it to you. You purchase whatever and you agree to pay them back in X amount of time. That's an agreement. You agree on those things. And if one breaks the agreement, certain things happen, huh? They'll come take your cars, they'll repossess your home, they'll do whatever happens. But those are agreements that have been made by two different distinct beings. Well, in the Old Testament, God had a covenant. And the covenant was made between God and Moses with the Ten Commandments. That's the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant. And we know from the Old Covenant, you can read the list of commandments. Oh, we have them. Praise God. Right on your bulletin here. There's no way anybody could keep them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We've all failed at that because we all put money first sometimes. Huh. We put people sometimes. We put situations. I know that. And the Holy Spirit has to come and say, oh, direct ourselves. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. That means no image of anything. God is number one. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Talking about the Sunday base. Keeping it holy. Get to church. Get to church. That's what God says. Keep it holy. When we don't, and I know there's certain areas why, you know, working and stuff. But I mean, we need to keep it holy before God. Now, this is the hard one. We need to honor thy father and thy mother. As we get older, with our parents, sometimes we want to strangle them. We just get, you know. Blake said, that's about right. No. No, he didn't say anything. No, but God says to honor. That doesn't mean we have to obey everything. After we have, you don't have to obey, but to honor them. God says to do those things. Honor them. Thou shalt not kill. Now, it's not talking about killing mosquitoes and all that junk. No. I'm talking about killing people. You know, like the unborn. You know this, I was talking to somebody, and it really enlightened me, you know. In Baton Rouge is the only, in Louisiana, abortion clinic in Baton Rouge. And every Tuesday and Thursday, they do abortions. And she was telling me that she tries to go at least once a month And she said, we've noticed, and all they do is they go pray. There's people praying. And if there's ladies or whoever trying to go in, they try to give them pamphlets. They try to show them things. They try to save the babies. And she said, we've noticed this. When there's a lot of people there praying, there's less abortions. But when there's not a lot of people praying, it seems like there's more. Now, she said, you know, we leave at 6 o'clock in the morning from Abbeville area, and they'll get back at 12 because they said, you know, by the time 11 or so comes around, we know whoever's in there is in there, and it's going to happen. But you see, God says, don't kill. Thou shalt not kill. Honestly, and you may disagree with me, but I know what the Bible says. It says, do not kill. Do not kill. We should never kill the elderly just to kill them, and we should never kill the young just to... That's, God says, no, we're to honor and respect. Because who? God is the God of what? Life. 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 Thou shalt not commit adultery. Everybody knows what that is, huh? Okay. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Don't look across the fence and covet what they have. You know, like somebody said this. You know, it's not, you know, there's nothing wrong saying, and he gave a great example. He said, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I like your shoes. You know, that's just, you know, it could be a vehicle, whatever. I like it. But he said, covet comes when you say, I want those shoes. I want that house that you're living in, or somebody else is living in. Or I want that car. That's the problem. It's not so much, you know, being happy for them and liking what other people have. Pray. It says, cry with those that cry and laugh with those that laugh. You know, do those things. So it's nothing wrong with having things, but when those things have you, then we've crossed the line. And so, but God says He has prepared many things for us. So that was the Old Testament. That was the Old Covenant. The second covenant that God has given us, which now we live in today, which is a much better covenant because there was no way anybody could keep the Old Covenant. That's why I don't understand why people want to go back to the things of the Old Testament. They want to serve all those old things. Which God said it's been fulfilled. When Jesus was born and when Jesus died on the cross, He fulfilled all the law, it says. Everything. Everything. Now the second covenant, which has been made between who? Us and the Father. And now who made the covenant? Jesus made the covenant. When He died upon Calvary's cross, that covenant was sealed between the Father and us. Thank God. Thank God, He fulfilled all the law. He fulfilled everything, and the covenant was made. And now the covenant is with the blood of Jesus that brings the Father to us. He's the glue between us. That's how the Father can look towards us, and His grace and His mercy can be shed abroad in our hearts and in our lives. I know. Everybody has made some mistakes, huh? Well, let's put it down to the brass tacks. We've all sinned, huh? And we've all sinned miserably, huh? Everybody say yes, because for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Every one of us. Everyone. If Leonard was here, he'd say no. But we know it. We know otherwise because Ms. Gail's here. We know. We've all done things wrong. Huh. And the next day, God moves mightily in us, huh? And He blesses us. Materially, physically, just the presence of God. And you know what? We don't understand that, huh? You know why He can do it? Because the Father looks through the blood, then He sees us of Jesus. It's that blood from Jesus that helps us to have mercy and grace from the Father. That's why the Father, it says this, that when we ask forgiveness of anything, that it says the Father does not remember it anymore. That's a big statement. You might say, well, how can the Father not remember it anymore? Because the blood wipes it away. Just doesn't cover it. It wipes it away like we've never done any evil ever before. That's why God can look to us, and even though we've made some mistakes, everybody say yes. We all know. He can still look to us and have mercy and have grace and have love towards us. That's the covenant. I wouldn't want to live in the Old Testament covenant. Many people say, well, you know, I wish I was here when Jesus walked the earth. I understand, because you'd want to see him physically. But that's the Old Testament still. That's the old covenant. The new covenant wasn't reinstated, or the new covenant wasn't installed till Jesus died on the cross and brought the blood to the Father, and the Father accepted it, and we knew he would, because it was perfect. 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 There was no sin nature in Jesus like we have today in us, because he was not born from a man, as far as having that part that's needed, or from the woman. You might say, well, he was in Mary's womb, yes. But he was just an incubator. He was just being held there. It says that the Spirit of God came upon who? Mary. It overshadowed her, and she became pregnant. He didn't use any egg from her. He didn't use anything from her. Now, he used, as far as bring nourishment and food to the baby, Jesus. But that's it. That's why Jesus was perfect. Now, he could have done any evil he wanted. He was still 100% man as far as flesh, but yet he was 100% God. Really, he was what Adam and Eve were before they sinned, which we were supposed to be without the sin nature. But God has prepared so much. That second covenant was made between the Father and man because of Jesus Christ. When we got saved, we entered into that covenant relationship with the Father. And in that covenant relationship, everything he has is mine. Everything he has is yours. Everything I have, Father, is yours. That's a covenant. That's a covenant. Mingling it together, the blood. That everything that I have is what? His. And everything he has, thank you, Lord, is mine. Now, I know I look at it, and you also too probably saying, Lord, you got the raw end of the deal. But he doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it, my children have come home. My God. The love that exudes from the Father towards his children. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Joseph. For God so loved, and put your name. For God so loved, put your name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The only part we got to do is accept him as Lord and Savior. And he, the fulfillment of the covenant is there between us. It says this in Acts chapter 5, if you would please turn there. Acts chapter 5. Covenant. Acts chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. You're looking at page 1910. Talking about all the things that God has prepared for us. The covenant. Honestly, looking back 10 years ago, I never thought I'd be in Gaydon, honestly. Probably you never thought you'd be in church in Gaydon. I mean, you know. But you see, God loves this place, this town. My God. And honestly, my heart, we've fallen in love with this place. I mean, when we drive through, it's like, yes, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on everywhere. There's evil all over. You know, I work for the post office in St. Martinsville. I've been offered drugs. Lord. One lady asked me if I'd go pick her up. We can go eat. I said, oh, no. Look, Lord have mercy. That's right. Right. No, my wife's cooking. You want to talk to her, lady? Look, I mean, you know, all kinds of things. That's the ways of the world. There's a different lifestyle for people of God. There's a different lifestyle. And God moves and helps us to do what is right according to His Word. But in Acts chapter 5, we're going to look at Peter. It says this, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Here we see God is talking about Peter. And you might say, Pastor, why did you read that? You know, when Peter was called by God, you know, they talk about Peter being the rock of the church. Peter was called by God. Peter never looked years beyond where it says that they would line the streets. That means more than one street. They would line the streets with people that were vexed, it's called, with demon spirits. That means there were demon spirits causing the health issues that they were having. They needed healing. And Peter would go to the temple to pray. That's just what would happen. And the temple was so full of people that the people just started to line up the streets. Just line up with people on both sides of the streets. And they were looking for, as Peter would come and walk, that his shadow would fall upon the people and heal them. Now, can you imagine when Peter first gave his heart to the Lord? Do you think he said, Lord, I would pray that when I walk and my shadow touches people that you'd heal them? You think he prayed that? No. But you see, what God has prepared for His people goes far beyond what our eyes can see and far beyond what we know and what we can hear. And it hasn't even entered into our heart what God has prepared for us. And sometimes we think we're not worthy for God to use us in any possible way. But you see, we don't stand on the worthiness of ourselves. No. We stand on the worthiness of the blood of Jesus that makes us worthy. It's the blood that Jesus shed upon Calvary's cross that makes you and I worthy for God to use and touch people. How many times have you walked into stores or have been on jobs and wherever else, and somebody comes and you just start talking to you and you say, "Can I pray with you?" And you pray with them and the Spirit of God moves upon that situation. The power and the presence of God. That's God using you in whatever situation. Peter never thought of praying, "Lord, let my shadow heal people." That's pride and arrogance. Probably, honestly, I bet you, because he probably walked that road every day to go and pray in the temple, that people felt the anointing and the presence of God upon Peter's life. Because he took time to honor God. And God was using him mightily. And I'm sure he got up. He might have had a few aches and pains here or there. But he got up like every other day. And started on his journey. Got dressed. Started on his journey to the temple to pray. And as he was walking, he noticed his shadow maybe was whatever, but he didn't notice that as he noticed the people and he was kind of wondering what's going on here. But as he's walking, his shadow's hitting the people and they were being healed. Now, he probably walked maybe a block or so or half a block and didn't even really notice anything. But the power of the presence of God was upon him. God chose him to do that. God chose his shadow. Is there anything magical about the shadow? I'm surprised some preachers are not looking for their shadow to heal people today. Because they look into themselves. No. We look to him, and however he wants to do it is through the covenant of the blood of Jesus, and however he wants to do it. But Peter didn't get up and say, "I want my shadow to touch all the people so that, ooh, they will feel that they will look to me as supernatural in the spirit realm." He got up with aches and pains and whatever else and did whatever needed to be done and just walked down the street as an ordinary man. Just as we have the connotation of thinking, because we see the pictures, that Jesus had a halo around about him. He didn't. Jesus was a normal man. How he looked, we don't know. That's kind of why I don't like pictures of Jesus, because we don't know how he looked. There's no pictures. Thank God. Because my Lord, if we had the picture of him, it would be mass produced and sold for a lot of money. Just like, thank God, we don't have the cross that he died on. Because everybody would be, they would taking chips off of it probably and trying to sell it. That's sad. But you see, God knew that. The heart of man is evil. So we got to keep our hearts towards him. But here Peter, walking down the street. And lo and behold, he turns around and says, "Those people just ran by past me. They were just laying on the side of the road there, you know, down and out." And he notices as he's walking that the Spirit of God is touching people. And people are being healed. Can it happen today? It can happen. However God wants to do things. Whatever God wants to do. See, Peter never thought he would be used like that. But he did. God chose him to touch a generation for him. And let me tell you, we don't know how God's going to want to use you. How God wants to use you. God has placed in us himself. We can read in Galatians. We can read in Galatians that when we accept Jesus as Christ and as our Lord and Savior, we're about to close, that it says that he puts the fruit of the Spirit inside of us. One fruit. Consisting of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. One fruit that produces all these things in us. That's the covenant he's made with us. See, you look at anything, and if one part of the fruit or the plant is growing beyond what it should, we say it's abnormal. I mean, we look at I want to be kind. Okay, this is not to be mean. But you look at a person, if they have 10, if they have 11 fingers, I mean, that's odd, huh? I mean, we think, oh, Lord. Oh, my God, you know, that's just, or you find out somebody's wearing open shoes and they have, you know, 11 toes. You kind of, ooh, you know, you look, you know, and we probably all have some abnormalities of certain kind. That's not, you know. But what I'm saying is that's just like the fruit. When we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, He comes in and the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits. It's not nine different fruits. It's one fruit. And God grows them all proportionally right together. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of them are growing at the same rate. If one grows a little faster than the other, it stops, and God has to grow the other ones. That's the kind of God He is. He's not a God that makes abnormalities. He's perfect in what He does. And so the Spirit of God works in our hearts and works in our lives. The things that He has prepared for us. You know, honestly, I'm excited about what God's going to do in your life. I'm excited about what God's going to do in 6 months in your life. My God. You might say, well, God can't use me. Oh, yeah. And everybody, God has callings that He has placed from the beginning of time. We just got to get on the right track and stay there and say, Lord, show me. That's just like Moses. Moses had to go to the backside of the desert for 40 years. Huh? To be able to be ready to take the Israelites out of Egypt. Had to be ready. So God had to work in his heart and life to get that done in him. It takes God many, many years sometimes to work in us. But what God has prepared for each and every one of us goes far beyond in what we ever could imagine or what has ever entered into the heart of man. So be excited about what God's going to be speaking to your heart and working in your life. There's a reason why He's working by the Holy Ghost inside of us to get us to be like Him so that He can be glorified, praised, and honored in the things that He calls us to do. Amen. Would you please stand? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, the last part says this. It says this, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When we are weak, it seems like that's when we're the strongest with our God. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for today. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. For who you are. As every head is bowed today and every eye closed just for a minute, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? You might say, Pastor, I think I know Him, but have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Does He live on the inside of you? If you have never accepted the Lord as Savior, and you would like to do so, would you please raise your hand at this time? I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you any of those things. I just want to make sure that you're right before Him. If you don't know Him and you'd like to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, would you please raise your hand? I'm just checking to make sure. Okay. Amen. Okay. You can look this way. As far as I know, nobody raised their hand. So that, you know, that tells me everybody's doing great, people. You're on the right track. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for today. And Lord God, we pray that your Spirit would be upon each and every one of us this week. Father, I pray that the anointing and the presence of God would rest upon each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Father, I pray as we're at work, Lord God, that things would go well and you would be glorified, praised, and honored, Lord. Father, I pray that your anointing would rest upon us and that you would live on the inside of us. Your will be done in us and through us this day. We ask this through your name, the name that is above all names. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look this way, if you would. Look, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We love you and we thank God for you. And I pray you have a great week this week. God bless you. You're